Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 6. In the last edition of SNU, I talked about stress management, hurry sickness, and naturopathy. Stress is as real as gravity, radiation, electromagnetism, nuclear energy, oxidation, erosion, and entropy. In fact, all of these natural forces are a form or type of stress in and of themselves. Our perception of them has zero effect on whether they exist or not. They all are as real as we are. Like the atmosphere we are literally bathed in, or like a fish bathed in and surrounded by the ocean waters, stress is the impact of all the natural forces that exist on the body over a lifetime. Like the mass of a bridge that exerts stress on itself with respect to weight and gravity, or the influence of sunlight beating down on the planet. And let's think of that word beating. To take a beating, meaning to damage and wear something down, that definitely signifies stress in action. In addition to these tangible forces, there is also the imagined kind, meaning the emotional and mental responses we all create in our heads in response to life events and reality. Knowledge of science and self-mastery is the only way that I know how to control my emotions and response to stress. Coming to terms with reality, with what is the first and perhaps most important step of all. Tied in with this understanding is the serenity prayer. And it goes something like this: grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. On this edition of Clinical Review, I want to talk about thyroid health and the importance of thyroid, and because so many people are affected by issues that relate to their thyroid, and it's part of the endocrine system, and how important is that? The thyroid is one of the largest endocrine glands in the body, and it's located in the neck, just below the Adam's apple. Huge numbers of women and a much smaller but growing percentage of men are diagnosed with hypothyroidism every day. Hypothyroidism relates to a low-functioning thyroid, an abnormally low release of thyroxine. First off, I want to dispel the myth that this condition has nothing to do with environment or lifestyle. Maybe someone has told you that, including, of course, exercise and nutrition. As per usual, it is a deficiency of both that more times than not is clearly associated with the cause of thyroid trouble. Now, if you think that your physical state, your physical condition, and how you eat and how you've been eating and what's eating you is not relative to your thyroid, then you are never going to overcome your thyroid problem. Countless numbers of women take thyroid medications by prescription, such as Synthroid, Levoxyl, or Levothroid, as advised by physicians, and most of them are led to believe that they must take these medications for the rest of their life. With some limited exception, nothing could be further from the truth. And believe me, I can give you many, many examples of women that I have met who are so frustrated with in spite of taking the medication, seeing no advantage to it and no improvement in their health. Getting off the meds, changing their life, changing their attitude, changing their diet, getting active. A complete change and a complete transformation is what it needs. And so they're not treating the thyroid. They're treating their whole life. They're treating their health. They're treating their whole body. And they're doing everything that needs to be done as it relates to totality and holistic health. Now, the primary regulators of human metabolism are the thyroid hormones known as thyroxine, which is also called T4, and triiodothyronine, or T3. The numbers 4 and 3 after the T designate the number of iodine atoms they each contain, and that is a big clue as to the primary function of iodine in the body. So when you think iodine, think thyroid function as a primary connection. Both hormones are classified as biogenic amines and are derived from the amino acid tyrosine. There's a connection there. Tyrosine is the anti-stress amino acid. If your pool of tyrosine, which is made in the body, is too low, can you see the connection between its being low and an inappropriate or insufficient amount of thyroxine being produced? That to me is pretty obvious. An easy way to remember which of the two thyroid hormones is T3 or T4 is to associate the tri, or 3, in triiodothyronine with the number 3. So T3, think tri, triiodothyronine. Iodine is highly concentrated in the thyroid gland, which contains 1,000 times more iodine than muscle and 10,000 times more iodine than blood. 25% of the iodine in the thyroid gland is a component of T4 and T3. The remaining 75% is found in thyroxine precursors. Thyroid hormones accelerate cellular reactions and increase oxidative metabolism by stimulating enzymes that control active transport pumps. Demand for cellular oxygen increases, and as ATP production goes up, heat is produced. This creates a thermoregulatory effect, which increases body temperature. So that's kind of how these thermogenic products work. They affect your chemistry. They create a system known as futile cycling. Heat is produced and it's ventilated off. And that elevation of body temperature is what speeds up your metabolic rate. But it's only minor. There are other much more important players when it comes to weight management than just taking a thermogenic supplement or a so-called fat burner. Basal metabolic rate, also known as BMR, is directly influenced by thyroid hormone chemistry. One of the most common symptoms of hypothyroidism, for example, is cold hands and cold feet. But that's also associated with Raynaud's phenomenon, which is intimately connected to thyroid health, as I would learn in my younger years, thanks to exposure to some functional medical experts. High cholesterol and elevated blood pressure are also associated with low thyroid function. So you can see how the thyroid connects to the body as a whole. Thyroid hormones stimulate protein synthesis and increase the rate at which triglycerides are broken down, a process referred to as lipolysis. Now, triglycerides are sometimes used as a measurement of biomarker of health, and elevated triglycerides is certainly a risk factor in heart disease, stroke, and cardiovascular disease. Thyroid hormones are used by many athletes in bodybuilding and in sports where the physique is being judged, where the goal is to get super lean, especially during the final stages of pre-contest dieting. Basically, they help preserve muscle and reduce body fat, but when used incorrectly, as in how many millions of women take thyroxine and synthetic thyroxine. This is the incorrect method. I don't care what you've been told, but there is a way not to take them. But the work that you have to do is going to be much greater than just simply living on with your life and evading the responsibility of wellness and health and just popping a pill. But excess amounts of these thyroid hormones can be extremely catabolic to muscle, so they can waste your muscle. And women taking thyroid medication are actively involved in breaking down their bone mass and their lean mass, their ligaments and cartilage. So that's the downside of trying to fix a gland with a pill. Thyroid hormone is one of society's most commonly prescribed drugs, if you can believe it. It can stimulate appetite, speed metabolic rate, and help people lose weight. But it can also cause serious heart problems, muscle weakness, and muscle wasting. The thyroid gland produces the hormone thyroxine, which controls the rate at which you burn glucose. Most thyroxine travels through the bloodstream attached to a carrier protein, but a small percentage called free T4 travels about unattached. Free T4 enters the cell and is modified by the enzyme 5-deiodinase, which strips off an iodine molecule, converting it to the more potent thyroid hormone, triiodothyronine. Triiodothyronine, or T3, again, may be converted to T2, which influences mitochondria and energy function. Under the influence of T2 and specialized proteins called uncoupling proteins, the mitochondria produce less stable energy and more heat via thermogenesis. Understanding this phenomenon is part of the key to understanding why ectos can't gain weight. Essentially, they blow off energy like steam instead of capturing it and stuffing it into cells like the rest of us. So that's what an endo does. They capture energy and store it, whereas an ecto releases it as heat. And in that process, it actually suppresses their appetite. So they continue to eat less, and they're the ones that need to eat more. It's kind of an interesting paradox. Thyroid hormones also contribute to the ongoing process of bone remodeling when they're produced in the right amounts by the gland itself, as thyroxine can stimulate osteolytic activity, forcing minerals to be drawn out of skeletal tissue. Remember, too much and you're going to end up with an excess calcium leaching process going on. Thyroid hormones can target, influence, and alter the metabolism of virtually every cell in the body. They're pretty powerful. They even influence fertility and reproduction. So a lot of women might not be able to become with child as a result of thyroid problems, which they don't even know they have. During growth, thyroid hormones provide an anabolic influence on protein metabolism. This is due to their influence on insulin secretion. T4 and insulin connect in the liver, where they mutually affect insulin growth factor, or what is known as IGF activity. In the absence of adequate levels of hormones, of these thyroid hormones, growth hormone loses its growth-promoting action and is not secreted normally. So there's a connection between thyroxine and growth hormone release. T4 and T3 both affect mitochondrial activity in a way that indirectly controls the energy exchange involved in the metabolism of protein, fats, and carbohydrates. Now, how important is that? The metabolism of carbs, fats, and proteins, and those are the three macronutrients. That's where we get our energy from. And if our thyroid is not up to speed and functioning well, it's going to diminish the quality of the extraction of the energy and building blocks from those three compounds, those three macronutrients, protein, fat, and carbohydrate. The activities of the autonomic nervous system are also modified by thyroid hormones. Both thyroxine and triiodothyronine are released from the thyroid gland, which consists of two lobes lying on either side of the trachea, located in the neck region. The thyroid secretes about 10 times as much T4 as T3. However, T3 is roughly 2 to 3 times more potent. Thyroxine is converted into the more active triiodothyronine with the selenium-dependent enzyme called 5-deiodinase. Thus, many thyroid disorders are related to selenium insufficiency. Unless you're eating organic food on a regular basis, you are not going to be getting sufficient amount of selenium. And people, it's important that you consider taking this stuff if you suspect that you've got a low thyroid. Or if you don't, 2 to 400 to 600 micrograms a day. T3 and T4 are lipid soluble and combine with special transport proteins upon release into the serum called thyroxine binding globulins. Now, this gets pretty complex, and you almost have to be an endocrinologist to understand it completely, and you have to live in it and throw yourself in it almost every day so that you can remember the names and the terms and the equations and the connections. But just understand how important the thyroid is. Now, here's something else that's very cool to understand. Anemia induced through iron deficiency has been shown to significantly reduce circulating levels of T4,5-deiodinase in rats, resulting in suppression of the conversion of T4 to T3. But here's something now in humans. A fellow named Beard and his co-workers demonstrated a connection between iron deficiency anemia and how many women and men are anemic, and low plasma T4 levels in human subjects. After 12 weeks of iron supplementation, we're talking about organic iron that's easy on the gut and well metabolized and absorbed, the iron deficiency was corrected, and both T4 levels and the subject's ability to thermoregulate their body temperature following exposure to cold improved. So there you go. If you're anemic and you lack iron, and a lot of people do because they don't eat enough food that would suffice them with enough heme iron, or they're vegans and they're getting plants only, which is non-heme iron and hundreds of times lower in absorption. And so many women just do not eat the 2,500 to 3,000 calories a day that you need to eat of organic whole real food compatible with your genome to get sufficient iron. Now, again, going back in time from the standpoint of being an anthropologist, if you're hunting and gathering and eating an enormous amount of food to sustain yourself because you have to stay alive because there's no labor-saving devices and everything is done manually, you're going to eat a lot more food. A lot more food of whole food equals more iron. Now, today we're less active. We eat less food, so we're getting less iron in all the other elements and vitamins. Doesn't that make sense? Thyroid hormone release is ultimately controlled primarily by the hypothalamic pituitary target organ axis and through nerve supply directly to the thyroid gland. Thyrotropin releasing hormone stimulates the release of thyroid stimulating hormone, TSH. That's the hormone that most physicians test and only test and then base their entire diagnosis on. So if you have low TSH or thyroid stimulating hormone, they usually put you on a medication. And according to all of the other endocrinologists in functional medicine, this is wrong and inappropriate, and you should not base the need for medication on that one test alone. So the anterior pituitary is what releases this hormone, and this in turn stimulates T3 and T4 release. So there's a connection to other glands and other hormones. Serum T3 and T4 both inhibit the release of these two hormones. If levels of T3 and T4 in circulating fluids decrease due to increased utilization, a negative feedback loop is created, resulting in an increased output of TRH and TSH. This in turn stimulates the release of more thyroid hormones. Now, I want to talk about a simple home test that could change your life. It's called the thyroid temperature test, and this test was developed as one of several methods used to assess the function of the thyroid gland. When the thyroid is suspect, doctors who specialize in alternative and functional medicine often advocate this procedure, which is performed by the patient at home. Depending on the outcome, the doctor may follow up with additional forms of saliva and/or blood chemistry tests. Now, here's how the thyroid temperature test works, and I recommend trying this procedure if you never have, just for the experience. It's how I identified my own low thyroid according to the advice of my own physician several decades ago. In fact, that procedure alone is what led me to understand the significance and power of preventive and functional medicine. Before retiring in the evening, place a thermometer on your bedside table. As soon as you wake up in the morning and without stirring around too much, place the thermometer under your armpit, and then lay still for about 10 minutes. Record your body temperature and repeat this procedure for 3 consecutive days. Women should avoid this test during the first few days and the middle day of their menstrual cycle, as hormonal patterns during this time may cause natural changes in body temperature unrelated to thyroid health. Now, what you do is you add the 3 temperatures that you've collected from each of the 3 days together and then divide by 3. Simple math. This figure represents your average basal metabolic temperature, which is reflective of thyroxine output. A normal temperature is approximately 37 degrees Celsius. A reading in the low 36s or lower may indicate a low thyroid or at least a need for follow-up medical intervention. Thyroid conditions such as hypothyroidism, Graves' disease, goiter, and Hashimoto's disease are common, especially among women. Oxidative stress causing free radical damage to the thyroid, pituitary, or hypothalamus may be a contributing underlying cause, as well as primary nutrient deficiencies including iodine, iron, selenium, the essential fatty acids, and GLA. GLA is gamma-linolenic acid, and it's in the hemp, and it's in the black currant, and it's in the primrose oil. Here's another simple self-check thyroid test that can help identify if you have an enlarged thyroid. Hold a small mirror so that you can see the area of your neck just below the Adam's apple and right above the collarbone. This is the general location of your thyroid gland. Tip your head back while keeping this view of your neck and thyroid area in the mirror. Take a drink of water and swallow. As you swallow, look at your neck. Watch carefully for any bulges, enlargement, protrusions, or unusual appearances in this area when you swallow. Repeat this process several times. If you see any bulges, protrusions, lumps, or anything that appears unusual, you may have an enlarged thyroid or some type of thyroid nodule, and your thyroid should be further evaluated. Now, don't get your Adam's apple confused with your thyroid gland. The thyroid is further down and closer to your collarbone. The Adam's apple, or laryngeal prominence, is a natural protrusion formed by the angle of the thyroid cartilage surrounding the larynx. The term Adam's apple is derived from the story of Adam and Eve and the line that Adam crossed when he ate the forbidden fruit. As with all the endocrine glands, the essential fatty acids are of particular importance. Of course, we need to avoid margarine, processed oils, fried foods, and commercial bakery items, as they contain high levels of trans fatty acids that are detrimental to thyroid health and impair immune responses. Also, it's not just the trans fats, it's the fact that the fats, even though you might be led to believe that they're trans fat free, are still modified and ruined and damaged and oxidized and sterile. Avoid dead, sterile fat. Purpose of fat is to transmit the fat-soluble vitamins and essential fatty acids and the sterols and all the little goodies that reside in natural fat. Without those, fat is empty and dead, so stay away from them. This is the nutrition connection to thyroid health. It can't function, and I mean your thyroid, it can't function well without the raw materials it requires, and all endocrine glands depend on an ample supply of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, those 2 essential fatty acids, which evolve inside the body into EPA and DHA and GLA and prostaglandins and eicosanoids. And there's whole books written on all of that, which is just unbelievable and so fascinating and interesting. Primrose, hemp, borage, or blackcurrant seed oil, vitamin C, selenium, vitamin E, tyrosine, kelper dulse, zinc, and the B-complex vitamins may assist healing and restoration of thyroid function. There's no one pill that's going to do it for you. Pills should never be used the same way that prescription meds are used. You don't take a health pill to remedy a health condition. It's a total approach. It's a holistic approach of mind, spirit, and body. Diet, exercise, sleep, fresh air, the whole shebang. Natural extracts of thyroid gland tissue can also be extremely beneficial but hard to find. The natural sources coming from porcine, which is pig or bovine, cattle or sheep ovine, they contain, in addition to thyroxin or T4, triiodothyronine, which is the T3. They have both, whereas a lot of people are just taking the T4 and not the T3, the synthetic form. And that's why it's not doing the job. So some of these endocrinologists that are into natural medicine, they'll get you on the natural, or they'll get you into a combo where you're getting the T3 and the T4. Now, it's obvious the people in charge of conventional medicine in North America don't like natural products that compete with their prescription drugs. So that's why they're so hard to find, and why the information, which, by the way, is not censored on the internet, and that's why they hate the internet, because you can go to the internet and service yourself, which is your right as a human being, your constitutional right to service yourself, medically speaking. Foods rich in goitrogens, and this is a big one too, include broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, kale, watercress, mustard greens, rutabaga, spinach, and turnips. These foods are known to suppress thyroid hormone function, as goitrogens in the blood can inhibit the enzymatic conversion of T4 into the more potent T3. In one of Dr. Colgan's first and original books called Your Personal Vitamin Profile, he identifies the active chemical constituent of these goitrogenic foods as thioglycosides and explains how their thyroid-disrupting effects can be blocked by consuming ample quantities of iodine. And guess what? Soybeans. There's another thyroid disruptor. So be careful with your soy intake, ladies, if you're on thyroid medication. Not the isoflavones of soy, but the actual beans themselves and the lectins thereby that you get inside when you eat the beans or byproducts of the beans, like the vegans out there that are eating processed, refined soy burgers, which have ultimately no value at all and cause more damage than you could possibly imagine. Soybeans, peaches, and pears can also be a problem for the thyroid. In hyperthyroidism, which is a catabolic hyperstate that can cause muscle wasting, you maybe want to consume soy. You maybe want to plug some peaches and pears and some of these goitrogen foods in, because they'll suppress the hyperactive, out-of-control thyroid. But in hypothyroidism, in low thyroidism, where constipation and weight gain tend to be the problem, avoid or reduce their intake. Steaming cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, and cauliflower or kale helps to deactivate these thioglycosides and their goitrogenic effect. So I have a slightly sensitive thyroid, and so I always steam. And then I do consume raw and lots of raw vegetables in spite of that. But again, it's the total picture. It's everything that I'm consuming and doing, because there's a lot of bad fats that I don't consume. There's a lot of foods like wheat, you know, with gluten and that cause allergies and damage and inflammation that I don't consume. So it's everything that you're doing. It's not just the one thing. The training makes a difference. The excretion of your waste, breathing, relaxation, adequate amount of sleep, a positive mental attitude. It's all connected. The thyroid gland is enormously important to energy, health, and body composition management. Thousands of men and women are frustrated by the inability to lose body fat, even when they're dieting and training like mad. Why? Because the problem is often associated with thyroid disturbance caused by a history of consuming the wrong foods and living for a long period of time in a previous state of poor physical condition. So you're in poor physical state for a long time. Your VO2 max is really low. You're carrying excess body fat. You're not flexible. You have no strength or endurance. And then you take up a strange, bizarre, crazy diet. You start making some radical changes. And you think that you're going to change your body overnight with that approach. All you're going to do is cause a lot of damage. You'll end up on the medication and then just get fatter and sicker. And eventually they'll cut you up and cut everything out. And that still won't help. Now, a few good books on this topic are Solved, The Riddle of Illness by Stephen Langer, Hypothyroidism by Broda Barnes, and one of my favorites, Thyroid Power by Richard Shames. So focus on not just the thyroid, but treat it as an independent gland that's part of a whole endocrine system. It's a major player. I think I'm going to bring some athletics in here now because you're a team player and you're a member of a team. Let's think of soccer right now because the World Cup is on right now and it's coming to mind. Who's more important, the goalie, the forward, the defense? No, they're all important, but their roles are different. Their roles are unique, but they all contribute toward what end? Towards playing the game. And hopefully you are playing the game of life, not necessarily to win, but to have fun so that you can enjoy yourself and pursue your dreams and your goals. Because let's face it, without health and wellness, without what is most important to all of us as living organisms, we can't possibly achieve anything else. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Sophocles, a writer and great man of importance in the public halls and theaters of Athens in 400 BC. "It is better to fail with honor than succeed by fraud."